This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The lights flickered out, and in a thunderous roar, everything on the super ship seemed to break loose. Beds and boilers lurched as the black hull of the RMS Titanic tilted perpendicularly. In three great propellers reared against the heavens, and then it was gone, and 1,522 souls with it. There had been no sense of urgency when the Titanic first struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic at about 11:40 p.m. on April 14, 1912. When Edith Brown Haseman last saw her daddy, he was standing on deck smoking a cigar and smiling at his wife and daughter. He said, "I'll see you in New York," confidently, as his family was bundled into lifeboat number 14. "Everyone keeps saying, 'She's unsinkable,'" called Haseman. But the unthinkable happened to the unsinkable. And emerging from the depths of the sea and lifeboat survivors is a tale of haunting deception and undisclosed secrets hovering over history's most remembered disaster. "It was a night to remember," said Walter Lord in his classic 1955 bestseller. And today, we're about to hear the audio track of the 1958 Titanic movie that was built upon Walter Lord's Night to Remember. It's considered the most historically accurate movie concerning the sinking of the Titanic. Listen carefully.
"The touch of haze on the horizon. There's ice ahead. There's someone there."
"Yes, what do you see?"
"Ice, dead ahead. A berg less than a mile away."
"Thank you. Iceberg right ahead.
Hard to starboard, Mr. Hitchens. Hard to starboard. Helm is hard over, sir. Full speed astern.
Hit something. It felt like a hit. Hey! What's happening?
I'm closing the watertight doors. Note the time and enter it into the log.
Captain on the bridge.
"You've struck something, Mr. Murdoch."
"An iceberg, sir. I hard a starboard and ran the engines full astern, but it was too close.
I'm afraid she's hit it.
Dearest God.
I closed the watertight doors, rung the warning bell. Sir, do you hear me?
Impossible.
Dearest God, impossible, said the captain. And that's what many are going to say when things go awry on planet Earth and when our own country begins to go down just like the Titanic. There was a great sinking feeling, as you might understand, and today here on Viewpoint, we're going to follow the trajectory of the Titanic. We're going to take a look at why it commands such interest now since 1912, when the old canoe went down on Monday, April 15th. Today is Monday, April 15th. And today, it's a night to remember here on Viewpoint. It's been said that the three most written about subjects of all time are Jesus, the Civil War, and the Titanic. And the Titanic fever is again upon us. It seems to continue. It was a night to forget for those on board, but a night to remember for the rest of the world. But why? That's what we want to talk about here on Viewpoint today. When George C. Scott said, "Turn, turn, turn," and then said, "Dearest God, impossible." That's what the most of the world is going to say, including professing Christians, as things unfold toward the end of the age. So what does the Titanic say to us? Well, believe it or not, Newsweek said it's a biblical warning to those who would dare to challenge the Almighty. Wow, that's coming from a liberal news magazine? Those who would dare to challenge the Almighty? Does it carry a message that you and I can relate to of another great boat and its ancient builder, Noah? Remember, those who failed to get off the Titanic had a massive sinking feeling, as did those who failed to get on the Ark. So what feeling will you have if you or your sons or your daughters, your neighbors, your friends, those in your congregation, dear pastor, co-workers, fail to get on board before the rapture? Maybe it's time to build an ark. Maybe it's time to do what Jesus said right up front. Prepare our sons and our daughters. So today on Viewpoint, it's no laughing matter, but it's a serious remembering. A night to remember, said Walter Lord in his classic book in 1955. It was the classic writing story of the Titanic. I have so many books in my library today concerning the Titanic. But still, A Night to Remember is the ultimate classic. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to trace through the Titanic, its secrets, and its slumber at the bottom of Davy Jones' locker. What are the implications for you, for me, for all of us? Maybe we should consider the Titanic.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Many artifacts have come from the Titanic, have been dredged up, or those who had them have made them available to auction. And one of those that captured the greatest interest was one of the smallest items ever. It was a little key, a simple little key that could have saved the Titanic. So if a little key might have been able to save 1,555 souls of those that were on board, what simple key might be able to save those in your sphere of influence from the ultimate sinking feeling of the disaster when you realize, when they realize, that they have not embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the end is at hand? We want to take a look at that here on the program today, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. You're going to learn a lot here today on Viewpoint. For want of a key, unlocking the mystery of deception, well, it involves something that would have allowed perhaps the Titanic and those on board to be saved. What might that missing key be for you and for me, spiritually? And so, I hope you'll stay tuned to the entirety of today's program, and if you've missed any part of it, I hope that you'll go back and listen to the entirety of the program, including the 6 or 7 minute audio excerpt from the 1958 classic movie, The Titanic. So what is it about the Titanic story that keeps us coming back to it? What's the significance of that story? You can have a real story without risks, but the best stories are those that ask the riskiest questions, I think, about good and bad. So when we try to answer them, we recover our sense of dignity of human life, maybe. And that's maybe why we keep coming back to the Titanic, because it makes us think about the things that matter. It's little wonder, then, that the historian Stephen Beale, in his reminiscing culture history of the disaster of Down with the Old Canoe, he called it, the three most written about subjects of all time may be Jesus, the Civil War, and the Titanic. And now it's buried 12,000 feet beneath the sea in total darkness, gone from a world it momentarily defined, yet the Titanic refuses to die. As Newsweek said, it's a morality play, a biblical warning to those who would dare to challenge the Almighty. Now, there's a sense in which we're all on the Titanic together. Here we are, April 15th, Monday. The Titanic went down on Monday, April 15th in 2012. Yet it remains a night to forget for those who were on board, but a night to remember for the rest of the world. It's an irresistible tale of tragedy and truth. Believe it or not, 17 movies, 18 documentaries, and at least 130 books have attempted to reveal the moral and spiritual mysteries played out in the drama of deception that was played out before the world on the decks of the Titanic. According to a fellow by the name of Tulloch of RMS Titanic Inc., he said it's a moment in time that encapsulates what life is all about. So the Titanic wasn't annihilated in an instant. It took 2 hours and 40 minutes to sink, during which time people, rich and poor, young and old, had to make choices. Now, aren't we in that same kind of a situation today in our world, in America, with all the things going on? We see it happening right before our eyes, and yet we're largely blinded. We're dulled in our sense, our senses to what is really transpiring, aren't we? It's an interesting fact that the newspaper reports and magazine articles and books that were published shortly after the Titanic sinking referred to eternal truths. That's right, eternal truths. Yet most of those were secular publications. Dr. Robert Ballard, who was a working associate, first discovered the remains of the great ship in 1985, resting 2 miles down on the ocean floor in the cold pitch blackness of the North Atlantic. There are pivotal points, he said, in our lives when we are brought face to face with the things in life that matter most. And at these junctures are choices that we have to make, choices that inevitably determine the course of destiny. So today we call this program Titanic Destiny. Titanic Destiny. Few have any clue or had any clue of the destiny of the Titanic, and few have any clue of the destiny of Earth, of the nations of the Earth, and of America itself. America is very similar to the Titanic. Really? Because, why is that? Because we have this tendency to think America is America, and America is unsinkable because she's so exceptionalistic, right? Isn't that how we think? Oh, we know that there are problems going on, and we've heard that there were icebergs around, and we've heard this and that, but in reality, no problem. We're unsinkable. Yet deception and undisclosed secrets deliver us to the brink of destiny. So James Cameron, remember him? He's the one that produced that extravaganza film production in 1996. He said the Titanic is a metaphor for life. In a very real sense, we're all on the Titanic together. Wow. Maybe you never thought about it that way. Certainly there's a lot of interest factor that goes into the Titanic, but maybe it's much more than just interest. Maybe there really is an eternal message to be gathered. If the secular publications of that day focused on the eternal truths to be gained and garnered from the Titanic, maybe there's something for us to recover in this unusual moment when our nation is like a great ship. When even Christians, professing Christians and their pastors tend to think of America as a great ship, no problem, no worry, everything's wonderful, everything's cool, just press on, we're all together, everything's going to work out, everything's fine, no need to prepare people for persecution, no need to prepare them for difficult times ahead, we're out of here anyway. Well, didn't work that way for the people on the Titanic, and it's not going to work that way for others either in our day and age. Believe it or not, the Titanic was large even by today's standards. It was the grandest of the grand. It represented all the power and the wealth and the luxury and arrogance of that time. And it was built at the height of the Industrial Age, at a time when technology ruled, like today, ruled like a god. She was promoted as unsinkable with her 16 watertight compartments. Several passengers wrote in their diaries they overheard people claim even God couldn't sink the ship. That's how people think about America. Yet God said in the book of Isaiah that all the nations are as a drop in the bucket. I'm not here to put down our country. I'm not even here to put down the Titanic. But there's something about this that we need to understand. The unthinkable happened to the unsinkable. And one deception led to another. Undisclosed secrets obscured what might otherwise have seemed obvious. Passengers boarded, brashly confident in their safety. The ill-fated captain, remember Edward Smith, was also boldly confident. He cranked up the speed to set a new transatlantic speed record even as the vessel approached the well-known North Atlantic ice fields. And unbeknownst to unsuspecting passengers, no safety drills had been conducted. Just like pastors and parachurch leaders today not preparing the people, no spiritual safety drills. We're onward and forward to just live a happy and prosperous life and no preparation for the people for difficult times ahead. Why? Because it doesn't sell well. It doesn't market well. You see, the Titanic had to be marketed. And it was marketed unsinkable. It was marketed as the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is the penultimate. This is everything you could possibly ever hope for. Technological salvation. And the wireless operators ignored or made light of repeated warnings of icebergs ahead. Just like pastors and parachurch leaders and people alike are making light of God's warnings that are coming to us every day concerning our times, concerning the end of the age, concerning exactly what Jesus said was going to happen, exactly what the apostles and prophets said was going to happen. And we say, oh, well, everything's wonderful. Everything's cool. Are you beginning to see the significance here? About 11 p.m., when the ship's crew spotted iceberg ahead, frantic orders were given to turn the massive liner. There are a few more dramatic or spine-tingling lines, I think, in the history of cinema than those of the Titanic captain in the 1958 film, when upon news of iceberg ahead, you heard him cry earlier in this program, pleading to his ship, turn, 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 and then exclaimed, dearest God, impossible. How are people going to speak? How are pastors and parachurch leaders and broadcasters and so on going to handle things when things turn really bad? I mean, really bad. When persecution begins to take over. Jesus said it was going to happen. Peter, Paul, John, James warned us that this was going to take place. Why are we so unwilling to hear the message? Mainly because we don't want to. We just don't want to. Even after a 300-foot slice, a quarter of an inch wide, was scraped by the ice through the hull of the Titanic, nothing was detectable by anyone on board. But the unsinkable ship had been mortally wounded. And even that fact remained a secret. Do you have any idea, friends, how mortally wounded our own country is? Do you realize that we're nearing $40 trillion in debt? Because the captains of our country, i.e. presidents and their administrations, are heading full speed into the icebergs without any care of the future. All they want is power, perks, and position for the moment. The passengers, they didn't detect anything. Even as the watertight compartments were filling with water, they had no clue. Many were joking, even when ordered to begin boarding lifeboats. They said the unsinkable began listing and tilting. The passengers realized they were in trouble, but many of them still thought it was unsinkable. According to Eva Hart, she was a 7-year-old survivor. She said it was dreadful later on. With her mother, she was put on a lifeboat as her father was left behind. And she could hear the screams echoing across the freezing waters as the huge ship rose and suddenly slipped below. And all was darkness. She said it was absolutely dreadful. We'll be right back after this, friends. Is there a Meeson key? Indeed, there is. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Two dogs made it into the lifeboats, but not a lot of people did. Not only were there not enough lifeboats to save everybody on board on the Titanic, most of the lifeboats that were launched were not filled to capacity. In fact, one lifeboat that carried the fewest people, only 7 crew and 5 passengers, a total of 12 people, despite having a capacity of 40. Well, the kingdom of God will handle just about everyone. It will handle everyone who is willing to enter. The problem is that very few are willing, relatively few. And there are many who will see their friends, their relatives, maybe their wives, maybe their husbands, their children, entering by embracing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and walking with him as Lord. But others say, no, you know what? I'd rather go down with the Titanic. No, I'm going to put my trust in the Titanic. Maybe we can be saved. Maybe we can keep it from going down. Isn't that kind of how people think? It is. So, believe it or not, I have in my hands from the telegraph.co.uk, in other words, from the UK. This notice came out on August 29th, 2007. Here's what it says. Key that could have saved the Titanic. It looks for all the world like an ordinary key, but this unremarkable piece of metal could have saved the Titanic from disaster. It is thought to have fitted the locker that contained the crow's nest binoculars, vital in detecting threats to the liner lurking in the sea in pre-sonar days, but catastrophically, for the Titanic and the 1,522 people that lost their lives. The key's owner, Second Officer David Blair, was removed from the crew at the last minute and in his haste forgot to hand the key to his replacement. And without access to the binoculars, the lookouts in the crew's nest were forced to rely on their own eyes and only saw the iceberg when it was too late to be taken action. In fact, how late is too late? From the time the iceberg was noticed, they had only 37 seconds to turn. Only 37 seconds. A guy by the name of Fred Fleet, who survived the disaster, later told the official inquiry into the tragedy that if they had had the binoculars, they'd have seen the obstacle sooner. He was asked by a U.S. senator chairing the inquiry how much sooner, and Mr. Fleet replied, enough to get out of the way. So the key came up for auction 95 years after it was put up for after. It was discovered. We think this key is one of the most important artifacts from the Titanic to have come to light. And it sold for the equivalent of $90,000. I'm looking at the key right now. It says RMS Titanic. It's an old-fashioned key. I'm looking at it right now in the picture. It's amazing. One small message, friends, might have saved 1,522 people from Davy Jones' locker. What small message, friends, might save America, might save millions and millions of professing Christians who refuse to receive the warnings? At this remarkable and unprecedented moment right now in human history, the greatest and most significant key to avoid personal and collective shipwreck is ignored or deemed relatively insignificant. What is that? It's the Bible. The very inspired word of God himself has become either disregarded or disdained. Yet alone, insignificant as it may seem in light of man's titanic achievements, it provides the key to life, revealing the dangers lurking not only in the swirling waters around us, but in the dark and turbulent waters ahead. Now, some of those dark and turbulent waters ahead, as we've talked about here on this program in the past 2 months, happens to be Jesus' warning concerning massive persecution that will come upon those who claim the name of Christ. Jesus was not alone. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, all warned about it. Why is it we don't give much significance to it? Why is it we don't hear it talked about, preached about, warned about from the pulpits of America and in the radio programs and in the books? Why? Maybe it's because we just don't want to hear it. Maybe the pastors, the leaders realize they just don't want to hear it, so we're not going to talk about it because it's going to affect the flow of resources to keep our ministries afloat. We're not going to be able to keep our radio programs alive, and so we won't talk about it. But we will here on this program, because we don't rely upon any man's money to keep this program alive. Not for advertising, not that kind of promotion. And yours truly receives no income whatsoever, nor does anyone in this office receive any income from your donations. None. That way we're completely free to tell the truth, the whole truth, no matter what the cost. And that's what we do. So long as the Lord makes it possible. But here's what I want to share with you. Many of you know that I have just completed the manuscript of my 11th book called When Persecution Comes. Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It is a book like no other. It is a book ultimately from God's viewpoint that will prepare millions and millions and millions of professing Christians from the desperate moment of a titanic sinking feeling. When the persecution comes, they will fail because they're not prepared. When the pressure comes, they'll relent and will not stand up to the persecution and the fear that is coming. Fear has torment, and if we're not prepared to stand by faith amid such times, the majority will fail. Their faith will fail, and there we will get what the Apostle Paul talked about as the great falling away. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to your loved ones. Pastors, Let's come to grips with the reality of what our Lord has said, what Paul and Peter and James and John all warned about, and let's take seriously those preparations. The book, When Persecution Comes, and here's the deal. It's not going to come out until about August. The final manuscript, double edited, has gone to is ready to go to the publisher. and has gone out to at least a dozen leaders to review. Today, we started the Persecution Project 2 months ago, and here it is. For every listener who would like to contribute a minimum of $250, it has to be in $250 increments, we will provide, when the book comes out, 10 copies of the book that you then can place in the hands of people that the Lord puts on your heart, who will receive and use the book productively in their lives and the life of their families, or perhaps in a congregation with a pastor. How do you engage in the Persecution Project? Well, you can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries. Or you can go on our website, saveus.org, where there's a specific place for you to sign up for the Persecution Project. Quite a number of people have done that now. We're very much blessed and thankful that quite a number of people have done that now. Most are signing up for a $250 increment. Some for $500, that will give you 20 books. At least one for $1,000. This is going to enable us to get the message out through you as God's servant. You then become God's hand extended to multiply the message. That's the whole idea behind the Persecution Project. It's not about money. It's about multiplying the message to get it out quickly, because as many are realizing, time is short. They see the persecution coming, not only around the world, but in the United States of America. And you see what's happening with regard to the anti-Semitism in Israel and around this country. And as one Jewish leader spoke here on this program 2 weeks ago, what's happening with the Jewish people now is going to happen to the Christians in just a few years or months. It's not a game. This is serious business. So as we talk about the message of the Titanic today, it has unique significance for us in this moment of, well, for them it was a tale of terror. But it never ceases to grip our moral and spiritual imagination. Because those memories with the Titanic are embellished with a thousand what ifs. What if this? What if that? What if this had been? What if this had not been done? As one writes, the true story of Titanic has never been fully told. There are many secrets that lie ahead. It didn't have to happen that way. Why did it? We'll talk about that when we get back. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It has since been discovered that the Titanic had been flawed from its very foundation. Very flawed. Pursuit of profit compromised architectural and engineering principle. And the rest is a wake of horror designed, defining a, a century of history. And unfortunately, the pursuit of money, power, perks, and position is compromising the message of the church in the same way. One knowledgeable in the design and structure of the Titanic said there was a whitewash to assure the world that British ships were safe. Peary and Ismay, the owner and the principal of the Titanic project, whose decisions had determined the destiny of so many, must have been terrified, he said, when they'd figured out that the known weak joints had caused the unsinkable to collapse. They had no choice but to keep the information secret. Here's our problem. The reality is you and I are on a collision course with destiny. Our nation is on a collision course with destiny. All the nations of the earth, humankind, and destruction for most lies ahead. Our vision is clouded. Our spiritual understanding, our perspective is limited to our personal and collective earthbound thoughts. Yet the Creator, the Lord of history, knows what lies ahead. He sees what is secret to us. And the Bible is our binocular. It's the key that opens our vision, our hearts, our understanding to see beyond our naked human visual limitations. And that's what was missing with the Titanic, that little key. Pastor and people, presidents, potentates, the poor are all on board man's prideful ship right now, churning headlong into the darkness of deception. Never in human history have the forces of deception combined with the devil's demonic host into such a formidable agent of destruction to lead you into perdition and your family and loved ones. And the greatest warnings to you and me come from our Lord himself and from his disciples. The telegraphed warnings are principally to the church, to those who profess to be followers of Christ. But most aren't going to heed the warnings. They're going to wince silently in eternal remorse, saying, "Dearest God, impossible. Maybe we should hear, again from the captain of the Titanic and those that were ruling there from the 1958 audio of that movie, A Night to Remember. Let's try it.
Iceberg right ahead.
Hard to starboard, Mr. Hitchens.
Hard to starboard. Helm is hard over, sir.
Full speed astern.
Turn! We're gonna win the fight! Turn!
Patrick, we hit something. It felt like a hit. Hey! What's happening?
I'm closing the watertight doors. Note the time and enter it into the log.
Clear the hose from the door! Run down the boiler!
Captain on the bridge.
We've struck something, Mr. Murdoch.
An iceberg, sir. I had a starboard and ran the engines full astern, but it was too close. I'm afraid she's hit it.
Dearest God.
I closed the watertight doors, rung the warning bell. Sir, do you hear me?
Impossible.
It's hard to miss the urgency of that moment, isn't it? Some pastors, through proud and neglectful delay, will, like the captain of the Titanic, in a last desperate moment, cry, "Turn, turn, turn!" But it will be too late. They will wince silently in eternal remorse, "Dearest God, impossible." But most are simply going to plunge blindly ahead, deceptively convinced of the unsinkability of their ship in which they have idolatrously placed their trust. Hordes are going to trust the counterfeit Christ for a last great fling on the Titanic of earth, spurning the hope and direction promised by Christ, the captain of their salvation, and his seemingly insignificant key. The carnage will be dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Don't let it happen to you. My book, The Secret of the Lord, will help you become informed of the great key. It's called The Secret of the Lord. There's a reason for that term, because the Bible itself calls it the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them who fear him, and to them, and them alone, will he show or manifest his covenant. It's a hardbound book called The Secret of the Lord. The first chapter is called Titanic Secrets. Why? You can understand why. Because the Titanic is a metaphor for life. In a significant sense, we're all on the Titanic together. And we might just want to replace the earthly captains in whom we put our trust with Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ, who alone is the true captain. And it's going to have to happen with deep conviction, not some blithe confession of faith. Because the multiplied icebergs of deception are threatening to shipwreck the lives of most. In these choppy waters that are becoming more choppy by the day, as you well know, the secret of the Lord lies ahead. Bon voyage. The hardbound book, The Secret of the Lord, the hidden truth that defines your destiny. It's going to open your eyes to things that you have not thought about, ways you have not thought about it, and it's all based upon the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. The Secret of the Lord. It's a $20 hardbound book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Again, the book, The Secret of the Lord, the hidden truth that defines your destiny. You see, we're talking about Titanic destiny here. Titanic has come to be a word that represents more than just a ship. It represents something so awesome, so great in our moral and spiritual estimation that we must take heed. Yet few have any clue of the calamity ahead. Very few professing Christians. Why? Because they don't want to hear it. And because pastors perceive they don't want to hear it, they don't tell them. And so the key that could have saved 1,555 passengers that went down to Davy Jones' locker was missing. Was it negligence? In that instance, yes. In our instance, no. It's not negligence when you refuse to tell the people what Jesus has said, the fullness of what Jesus has said, the warnings of the apostles and so on, that are all to professing believers. They're not to pagans. Because as Jesus said, the pagans are condemned already. John chapter 3, right next to John 3:16. Should we be telling others about the gospel? Yes, but the warnings of Scripture are almost exclusively to professing believers. Maybe it's time for us to seize the moment, to seize the opportunity. We don't want to be in a position to be screaming out, turn, 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 like the captain of the Titanic, and then have to respond, dearest God, impossible. You see, those who failed to get off the Titanic had a massive sinking feeling, as did those who failed to get on the ark. They didn't want to get on the ark back in Noah's days, remember? Any more than people want to hear today what Jesus, the apostles, have said concerning preparing the way of the Lord for our lives and to prepare for times of persecution, serious persecution, that will turn, cause so many to fall away and literally get off the ark. Now, we want to get as many people on the ark as possible, but we don't want them to fall off or get off the ark. And that's why the book, When Persecution Comes. I hope you'll seriously consider becoming part of the Persecution Project. I don't want to talk about it every day, but this was an appropriate time to talk about it. And we're moving forward with that book, and we're hoping that it will be out by August. And when it is, you will get, those of you who have become part of the Persecution Project, call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, write to us at Save America Ministries, $250, mark on your check, Persecution Project. We'll be sure that you are put on the list, and you will get 10 books that you will then be able to put in the hands of those that God puts in your heart, and you will become a minister of our God in that regard, to prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks for joining us. God bless, and be a blessing. Become a partner. Don't forget, become a partner. The other guy's not doing it.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.